Jesus' name. And all of God's children say, amen. Amen, amen. Guys, the theme of, or the title of the sermon is, don't fret. Don't get angry. That's what David is saying in Psalm 37, verse 1. And this psalm is a very, very interesting psalm. Because on the one hand, David is speaking how the righteous must live and how the righteous must behave himself. And on the opposite, he's speaking about the wicked. What the wicked does, and it seems like the wicked, they get away with everything they do. And so David is speaking to God's children, and he's saying to them, guys, don't fret. Don't get angry. You know what? Sometimes we want to get angry. If I read the papers again today, you know, I was like, I want to get angry, you know. And I preach this morning, you know, the same message. So I was just checked my heart, because it doesn't help to get angry when we hear what the wicked are doing. This verse says, do not fret because of evildoers, and nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. And I want to encourage you, the Word of God says, don't get angry. You know, don't build up steam of what the wicked are doing. And it also said, don't get envious. You know what, sometimes when we think and when we saw what the wicked are doing, you know, it's like, how can they get away with it? You know, and then sometimes we want to get envious, you know. You know, sometimes, you know, there are people that are, they are cheating with their taxes. And it seems like they are getting away with it. And then we want to get angry, you know. If they can do it, why can't I do it? And so David is talking to us. He's talking to us as the children of God. He's talking to the righteous. And he says, don't get, you know, angry, or don't get envious, you know. Don't get jealous on them. God has something better for us. And guys, one of the things that we don't want to do, or the Bible says that we don't must do, is, guys, don't let the enemy set your agenda. Don't let, you know, the enemy behave. Don't let the enemy control how you behave. Let the Holy Spirit do it. It is so important to us, you know. So David starts off, you know, on the one side the righteous, on the other side the wicked. And then he says, guys, what is so important, don't let the enemy set your agenda. Don't let the enemy or problems determine what you are about to do. God wants us to choose righteousness. Say with me, righteousness. Righteousness. Now, Matthew 3 tells us about Jesus being released in the ministry by his father. So Jesus went to John the Baptist. John the Baptist was preaching in the wilderness. He had a very strong message of repentance. He said, guys, you must prepare the way. The king is coming. And you know what? In those days, when the king was coming to a town, there was no roads. We know roads. We know tar roads. You know, we know autobahns in Germany. One day I want to go there. Just want to feel how it is to go. Drive without any, you know, speed restrictions, you know, or limitations, just going, you know. And but there was none like that. So if the king was coming, the people, they built a road so that the king could come with his couch and with his horses and you know what, so that he could come to that town or to that city. So John was saying, prepare your lives. The king is coming. And how did they need to prepare their lives? They needed to repent of their sin. Are you still with me? You know what? They needed to get their lives right with God. They needed to check their hearts. Hey guys, it's so important that we check our hearts, because our hearts is like, you know, is so deceitful. The Bible says there's nothing more deceitful than the human heart. Sometimes people would say, you know, no, my heart was, you know, I was just following my heart. But guys, we need to follow the word of God So John was preaching, you know, he was telling the people, check your heart, what's happening in your heart, check your relationship with others, get your relationship with God right. And he was baptizing them there in the Jordan. You know, it was a baptism of repentance. People that made their lives right with God were baptized in the Jordan. And so one day Jesus came there and Jesus said, you know what, John, I needed to be baptized. And he didn't need to be baptized. He was without sin. John's message and John's baptism was a message and the baptism of repentance. People that want to get right with God. And there was nothing between Jesus and the Father. But you know what? Jesus, he identified with the message of John. He identified with the baptism of John. Jesus identified with our sin. And the Father wanted him to be baptized because he said to John, he said, permit it to be so now. For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. So righteousness is doing the will of God in a certain situation. In this situation, the will of God, righteousness for Jesus was to be baptized. You know what? Sometimes God would speak to us. You know, and most of the times God doesn't really speak to us. He prompts us by the Holy Spirit. You know what? You just feel you need to do this. Ever experience that? You know what? When God speaks, you know, it's usually 97 or 98% of the time, it is the way we think. It is stuff that we think. Okay? And then we need to follow what we think, what the Holy Spirit is working in our thoughts. So Jesus chose righteousness. He chose to do the will of God. And when we do righteousness, guys, stuff starts to happen in the heavens. Because we see in Matthew 3, verse 16, and when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him. Wow, this is a big thing. The heavens were open. And guys, we need opened heavens above us. Because what did an open heaven did for Jesus? So one act of righteousness opened the heavens. When we act in righteousness, yes, a few stuff that happens. The first thing is the presence of the Holy Spirit will become very real in your life. And not only the presence of the Holy Spirit, but also the power of the Holy Spirit and the fire of the Holy Spirit. You know, I remember long ago, I was still studying theology, and you know what, God, I had this struggle with God about baptism. Because I knew if I choose to obey God and to be baptized, you know, that church would just kick me out. You know, at that time it was a little bit different than today. And I had this struggle because I've been reading books about the Holy Spirit. I've been reading Andrew Murray's book on the full blessing of Pentecost. And I said, God, I want this thing. I want this thing to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I was reading Andrew Murray because, you know, I think, oh, he's not, you know, one of those sect guys, you know. He's legit, you know. He was in the revival a few years ago or a few hundred years ago. And so I started to read these books, you know. And Andrew Murray is a classical writer. Any book of Andrew Murray that you can put your hand on it and ask God to break it open for you. He's not, you know, it's not gospel light. It is, what can I say? it's, you know, there's meat in that book, you know. God used Andrew Murray in such a way. If you ever want to read a good book on the Holy Spirit, read his book, The Spirit of Christ. That book took me 2 months to go through it. But you know what? When you take that time, something is deposited into your spirit. So what happened? Jesus, the heavens opened, and it says here, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting or abiding upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. So what, when we do righteousness, the heavens open. The first thing is, you know what, the presence of the Holy Spirit. The second thing is that you hear God's voice very clearly. You know, sometimes it's like we struggle to know what God is saying to us. You know, sometimes we struggle to hear the voice of God. Sometimes, you know, you just go on, but you don't know what God is saying. But guys, every act of righteousness, every time when you choose God's will, and when you do God's will, you will sense the voice of God just becomes clearer and clearer and clearer. You wanna read people following the Holy Spirit and led by the clear voice of the Holy Spirit, go and read the book of Acts. These guys were on fire. You know, if we put our church next to them, you know, if we could do it, you know, I think we would be so amazed to see how these guys lived. They were so on fire. You know what? They were going full out for God. Nothing stopped them. But every time that God spoke, they did it. Are you still with me? You know what? Peter didn't hold back. You know, when the persecution came, they didn't run away. Hello? They didn't run away. You know, when the Sanhedrin, that is like, you know, the groot godsdienstige raad, you know, this big meeting, they said, no, he must come in, you know. And they talked to them and say, you may not preach again in the name of Jesus. You know what they did? They went to a room, they started to pray. And they pray, and they pray. And you know what was their prayer? They said, God, give us boldness to preach your word. Give us boldness to preach your word. You know what? They were, what's the word? Hulle was gedreig geweest. They were threatened. They said, if you're going to preach in the name of Jesus, we're going to throw you in jail. And they went back. They prayed. They said, God, give us boldness to preach in the name of Jesus. Give us boldness to preach your word that people may be saved. And you know what? When they said amen, the whole place that they were in was shook. They were shook, you know, like an earthquake, you know. And they were all filled again with the Holy Spirit. Guys, righteousness will work a clarity of the voice of God in our lives. Let's go for it. And then the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. You know what? When we do righteousness, you know what? You will know your identity in Christ. I am his son. I am his daughter. His presence is with me. Guys, it's time that we become more bold for Christ. Hello, we need to become more bold. We need to speak out more for him. So, the next chapter, or the next verse, we see that Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit. Matthew 4, verse 1 says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. You know what? He came, he said, okay, let's do this thing. He came to John, he said, let's do this thing. John, please baptize me. Let righteousness be fulfilled. And then he did it, and the act of righteousness opened heaven. And the next thing we see, he was led by the Holy Spirit. You know what? It was not his desire to go into the desert. I believe some people have a desire to go into the desert. But you know what? He followed the Holy Spirit. And guys, one of the things that we need to know is that if God wants to use you, God's going to test you. Are you still with me? If you want to be used by God, you and I must know that there will be times of testing. You know, God said to Abraham, I want you to go to a land that you don't know where it is. You know, I want you to follow me. And Abraham had to trust God. He had to follow what he sensed was the leading of God. And he came into the land. And you know what? One of the first things that he did, he built an altar to worship this God. Guys, we need to worship him more, with more passion and with more of his Spirit. So Jesus was led by the Spirit. He wasn't led by what people thought. He wasn't led by what the wicked and the unrighteous people did. He wasn't led by the devil. and he wasn't led by his problems. You know what? So many times we let all this stuff, you know, the devil and what other people are saying, we let them, you know, set our agenda. And guys, we must let the Holy Spirit set our agenda so that we can run with God. So many times when the devil do something, Christians, they feel they must do the opposite. No, no, no. Don't let the devil. Don't let demons. Don't let people. Don't let situations set our or your agenda. Ask God. God, what do you want me to do in this situation? Now back to Psalm 37. In verse 3 it says, trust in the Lord. Say with me, trust. God, trust is so important. You know what? Back in the days of the reformers, Martin Luther and those guys, you know what? Guys, we need the spirit of the reformers back in the church. Because those guys were fearless. You know what? They make a stand. Martin Luther, you know what? He put on that 95 statements. Thank you very much. He put, you know, and he said, that is what I believe. So help me God. He made a statement for God. You know what? And today, it seems like, you know what? And that includes me, but we don't have that passion that the reformers had. We don't have that same spirit. I remember John Knox, he was a reformer in Scotland. You know what? And he openly, he said, you know what? The Bible was translated into the language they spoke at that time. And he said, you know what? The average Scottish person will know more about the Bible than the Roman Catholic priests. Guys, we need the Word of God in our hearts. And the reformers, they, you know what, they had like three slogans. They said, sola scriptura. Who is the Latin guys here? The Word alone. Sola gratia. Grace alone. And sola fide. Faith alone. Guys, we need to get back to the basics. Those reformers, you know, they said it's the word that will lead us. It is by faith and it's by grace that we will go forward. And you know what? They started the movement, and we today, you know, we are the fruit of the movement that happened through them. Trust the Lord. Sola fide. Trust the Lord. Guys, we must choose every day to trust God. I like when Uncle Angus spoke, he said, guys, we need faith. Because God doesn't come, you know, he's not moved by our needs. Sometimes we think, but, you know, can't God see where I am? Hello? Can't God see my situation? You know, what's wrong with God? Is his eyes blind? Is his arm too short? You know, no, 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 God can. But he said, without faith, it is, what's that word? Impossible. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You know what? And yeah, let's just get practical. You know what? The way we live, the Bible says without faith, it's impossible. But so many times we let money make the decision. Hello? Do I speak to the right people? You know, we just check our bank account. I don't have money. I can't go. You know, I can't go and pray on Table Mountain. I don't have money. Guys, we must trust God in everything we do. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God, because he who goes to God must know that he is. He's a reality. And that he is a rewarder. God is a rewarder. Guys, when you follow him, he will reward you. When you do what his will is in your life, he will reward you. God is a rewarder. So the word says, trust the Lord. Don't trust your own plans. Don't trust your own ideas. Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Okay. Discipline your heart. And do not depend on your own understanding. Okay. Don't be clever in your own eyes. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. This is God's promise. If you seek me, if you go and you pray, maybe go up the mountain, take your Bible with you, stay the whole morning there in the mountain, God will come through and he will show you, you know, which path to take. Trust God. Do it His way. And then He says in verse 3, do good. Say with me, do good. Okay? Guys, choose to be generous. God is a generous God. He gave. All throughout the Bible we see that He gives. John 3 verse 16, God so loved the world that He gave. He gave the most precious that He had. Love gives. Be generous with your time. You know what? Open your life for others, you know. Be generous with your talents. Be generous with your gifts. And also be generous with your money. Okay? God don't want us to be stingy. Learn how to be generous. The way you handle money say a lot about who you are. Okay? So don't let money run your life. Be obedient to God. You know, Jesus, he was very generous when He lived. You know, he would always took time with people. You know, when the mothers came with their little ones and they said, we want Jesus to bless the children, they said, no, you don't understand. This man of God, man of the hour and power, and you know, he's so busy, he can't take care of the children now. And Jesus must have heard it. He said, no, let the children come to me. You know what? So Jesus took time with people. You know, when blind Bartimaeus was crying out, he said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. You still remember that? He was walking by and there was a crowd, and you know what? But this man was crying out, and Jesus heard something. And he stopped. And he said, what do you want me to do? He said, Lord, that I may see. And you know what is our problem? Sometimes we don't know what we want. Are you still here? Sometimes we don't know. When the angel appeared to the father of John the Baptist, and he told him, he said to him, your prayers are heard. He didn't have the clue what the angel was talking about. Guys, we must know what we trust in God for. You know what? If we're not trusting God, you know what the next thing is? We're not praying as we are supposed to pray. Our prayer life dwindles. You know, it's not like there's no more fire in it. We just pray because, why? Because it's a religious thing to do. No, prayer must be because we are trusting God to run with us. Psalm 37 verse 21 says, the wicked borrows and does not repay. I've heard so many stories of, you know what, of young and upcoming businessmen, you know, guys building a business, and then they get this contract from a very rich person, you know, and he tells the guy, you know what, do this job for me. You know, I'll pay you afterwards. I don't have the money now, but when he finishes work, I will pay you. And then this guy, you know, climbs in and he does the job, and then never to be paid by this person. Seen so many, you know, young businessmen go bankrupt because they trusted, you know, wicked people. The wicked borrows and does not repay, but the righteous shows mercy and give. Guys, and I want to challenge you. This is God's heart, that we will have mercy and that we will give. The New Living Translation says, the godly are generous givers. And I want to challenge you. Give. Take out your purse. Give. It's God's character to give. And the Bible says in James 1 verse 5, He gives. And you know what? There's, what's that word? Geen verwyte. No regrets. No resentments. You know what? When God gave us eternal life, no resentment. When He gave us the gifts of the Holy Spirit, no resentment. When He gave us, baptized us with the fullness of the Holy Spirit, you know, He's not coming, Gerard, why were you not obedient today? You know, oh God, you know, it was a little bit difficult there in the office, you know, it was a little bit awkward. No, He's not like that. He gives us His fullness because, you know, He wants us to run with his fullness. Yesterday I was there with the guys at Paul East, and then we had this group meeting. Gerard Gerrit Norkeer was leading it, me and Sarel and Gerrit. And then he said, oh, you guys want to give your heart to Jesus? You know, everyone must give their heart to Jesus. And then we split into groups. I had three of the young men with them. And I told them, I said, you know, when I was as young as you, I was stealing. You know, I asked them, did you ever steal? Yeah. So we had the good conversation, you know. We could talk. They could identify with me. And you can ask me, what did I steal? For sweets. But anyway. The Jew at the shop. So we decided, no, we're gonna steal from this Jew. But, don't lecture people, you know. We need to ask more questions. We need to identify more with them. Then the word of God says, live on his promises. Oh, guys, this is so important. Verse 3 says, dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. The land was always at the center of God's promises. When God told Abraham, to move, it was about the land. And when with Jacob came the whole family to Egypt, God promised Joseph that the people of Israel would go back to the promised land. And eventually Moses took them out of Egypt and Joshua brought them in. The land is also always in the center of God's promises. Dwell in the land, feed on his faithfulness. And guys, make the word of God your compass. Follow his instructions. Stand on the word of God. Because when you stand on the word, you will survive every storm. And you know what? Some days there's a lot of storms coming against us. The Bible says, Matthew 7, Jesus said, if you build your house on the rock, that house will survive the storm. But the house that's not built on the rock, that's not built on the word of God, that is built on the sand. How's a house when you build it on the sand? It moves all the time. Sand dunes move. And when the storms come, because it's not on the rock, suddenly it collapses. Delight yourself in the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful scripture? Verse 4, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Hey guys, one of the things that is so important is that you and I will find our joy in God. I remember one day I was listening to a teaching and this guy said, we must learn to enjoy God. And at that moment, it brought me to a still stand. Because, we know we must worship God. And we know we need to do a lot of things. But this guy said, learn to enjoy him. And I said, God, I must change my relationship with you. Because you need to be my joy. And I need to learn how to enjoy you. How to spend time with you. It challenged me a lot. The more I spend time with him, the more there's life and the more there's light in my life. And the less time I spend with him, the more the darkness, there's more darkness, things that you don't like, things that pop out that really, really you don't like. Nothing works joy as much as to obey God. To be obedient works a lot of joy. That's why the Bible says in Romans, it says the kingdom of God is, who can help me? Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. There's a psalm that says righteousness and peace kiss each other. You know what? When you do righteousness, there will be a lot of peace in your life. Isn't that like that? God spoke to you. God said you sit that person down and talk to him. God said gave this to that person. And when you do it, it's like, wow, it feels good to do the will of God. And then comes the joy of the Holy Spirit. Joy and the Holy Spirit goes together. On the other hand, sin and demons go together. When you open your life for sin, and when you open the door to sin, and if you open the door to the wrong things, you know what? There will also come a spirit, but it's the wrong spirit. And those spirits will bind you. Okay, give everything in his hands. Psalm 37. Trust God with your program. Trust God with your challenges. 37 verse 5 says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Now this word, commit, it's a Hebrew word. I'll teach you some Hebrew. It's a word halal. Anyway, but I want to paint the picture to you. It's a picture of a camel burdened with a heavy load. And what the camel does, it kneels down on its knees, tilts far to the one side, and the load rolls off. Commit your way. You know what? And guys, sometimes we just need to slow down. Sometimes we just need to stop. Go on your knees. Roll over or tilt over and let the load roll off. That's what that word commit means. Sometimes we just need to stop. If you give your life in his hands, he will take care of you. Psalm 37 verse 6 says, he shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. One of the things in David's life, you know what? He was this righteous person. He was this righteous king to be, and the wicked Saul was on his case. Because when the woman sang, you know, Saul, what did they say? Thank you very much. Have you heard that? Saul killed his thousands, and David killed the 10,000. You know, when the woman started to sing that, Saul knew he was in trouble. Because the Spirit of God left Saul's life. And the Spirit of God was now with David. David, this righteous guy, he was fleeting. He was running for his life. But God was with him. Wait on the Lord. That's the second last one I want to encourage you with. Wait on the Lord. Verse 7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Say with me, patiently. One of the things that will kill your time with God is when you are in a hurry. You want to hear his voice? Slow down. Slow down. You know what? If you set apart half an hour or an hour a day, you know what? Put it out. God, this is my time with you. But to hurry will kill your relationship. To hurry will kill you hearing his stem, his voice. Okay. Wait on the Lord. To wait on God will make you stronger. To wait on him, the word says, you know, he will give you new strength. To wait on him will give you a new perspective. Am I talking to the right people? To wait on him, Eddie Scrive wrote down here, dit sal jou verhoed dat jy dom dinge doen. It will keep you from doing stupid things. And to wait on God will help you, you know, to rest your anger or to calm down. It's so important that we take time to wait on him. It's so important that sometimes we just take the time to sort out our hearts. You know what? Sometimes our hearts is so wrong, and we just need to sort out our hearts. James 1 verse 19 and 20, it says, in view of what God has made us then, dear brothers, let every man be quick to listen, slow to use his tongue, and slow to lose his temper. It's talking to the men here, not to the girls. Something is wrong here. Okay, anyway, for a man's temper is never the means of achieving God's true goodness. You know what? The anger of a man will not work the will of God. Sometimes we just need to slow down. Say, God, give me your perspective. You know, one of the prophets, Habakkuk, how do you pronounce it in English? That guy, you know what, he was like, you know, he saw everything that was happening in the land. You know, and all the unrighteousness and all the killings and everything that went with it. And when you go and read Habakkuk, you will see, you know, eventually he climbed on the tower. He said, God, I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you. And we need to hear for him, from him. May God your salvation. The last two verses of Psalm 39 says, of Psalm 37 says, but the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. Guys, our salvation is from God. Our salvation is not from a political party. Our salvation is from God. And we need to humble ourselves. And we need to come before him and say, God, we need you. We're not going to let the president or the cabinet or who else, the political party, set our agenda. We want to hear from you, God. And that's why I believe that the 22nd of April is such an important day. You know what? If a million Christians in South Africa can stand together, can you think what statement it is making in the spirit world? A million people standing together, a million people say, God, save our land. We need you, God. We need you. And not only from junk status, but these people that need to be saved. Our country needs God. We need God so desperately. The 39 says he is the strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust him. Let's pray together. Yes, thank you, God.
Can we stand together as we pray?
Father, we just want to thank you, God, that you speak to us in this time of turmoil. And this time, God, that it seems like everything is going wrong. Like the unrighteous people, they can just live like they wish. The wicked people can just do what they want. And it seems like, you know, it seems like if there's no consequences. God, we don't want to focus on the wicked. We want to focus our eyes on you, God. We want to run with you, God. We want to be your representatives, God. We want to be filled with your spirit, God. We want to keep our eyes on you, God. Knowing that you are life, that in you there's life, God. And please forgive us, God, if we have not keep our eyes on Jesus. And tonight we want to repent. We want to keep our eyes on Jesus once again. Trusting you to do a work in our hearts, God. Trusting you to soften up our hearts, God. Trusting you to give us again a passion for you, God. To run with you, to choose to obey you, God. Yeah, to bring our testimony, to lead people to Christ, God. We want to see you work in our country, God. We want to see you work in our land, in our city, in Paul. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Guys, I wonder if I can ask you if we can go to one another. The girls can go to the girls and the men can go to the men. And let's just pray with one another. You know, I think God spoke to our hearts.